Hi, this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief of Directions Magazine. I will be speaking today with Ricky Brundtritt, a GIS consultant with Infusion in London, UK, and the King of Bing Maps. Ricky's taxicab calculator won first prize in the King of Bing Maps contest sponsored by Microsoft. And in this conversation, we discuss the ease of use in working with the Bing Maps API, how long it took him to develop the app, and how Bing's API compares to Google. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Well, good, congratulations on being the King of Bing Maps.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So let me ask you first about why you picked Bing. How was it working with the API, and just maybe how long it took you to develop the app?
Okay. Well, I've been working with Bing Maps for over 3 years now, back when it started to be Virtual Earth.
Right.
I started out doing technical support for Bing Maps a long time ago. And just over time, I've been working with it. I got access to an early version of the Map App API there when they first came out back in the winter, and had built a couple apps for Microsoft.
Right.
And then they released the public version there, and I saw that contest. I thought it'd be a good contest to compete in, because I'm pretty involved with the Big Map community. And so I really wanted the title.
Yeah, right. How long did it actually take you to gather the data about the taxicab fare? And because obviously you've got, you know, kind of worldwide coverage, so I'm kind of curious how you were able to get just gather all the data to make it into the app. And then obviously it's pretty accurate, so that also caught my attention.
The taxicab is kind of like an afterthought application, like. Submissions, the data viewer, and spent a month and a half building the data viewer, and I liked it, but I didn't think it would be something that would, right. And so my second idea that I had was to build out a taxi fare calculator, but I only had 3 days left, so I built that in the 3 days right before the deadline.
That's pretty good. That's a great. And you came up with a winner then in that short of time.
Yeah, and for the data, mainly all I did for that was just surf the web and tried to find as much information as I could about different taxicab companies and rates in different areas. So in some countries, I was able to just simply find what the rates were that were regulated. And then in other areas, I had to just try to find like a taxi fare or a taxi company that had their fares posted, so I could use that data.
Right. Yeah. And that, of course, I thought was what made the application really useful, was that, you know, I had taken a couple of cabs recently, and the data validated very well. So to me, it was a very simple application, but a very, very useful application.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of fun working with it, and a lot of stuff starting to come out of it. So it's definitely worth the submission.
Have you had any feedback from others about the validation? Because again, I used it to validate for one specific city, and then obviously I tried a couple of other cities that I had not visited. And even though, of course, you had good data from regulated cities, but I'm just curious whether you had some feedback to say, hey, this is spot on, or hey, it's off here, or you could use a different data set here.
So right after all the blogs started going up, I started going through them all and reading all the comments.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of feedback that way, and I noticed that the one issue that's in the app right now. That I've fixed in an update that I plan on releasing is that the wait times in London aren't accurate, and so the rates tend to be a little bit lower. I live in London, and it kind of makes sense because the wait time here is a lot longer than it would be in most cities.
Right. And can you envision, even though it would be tough to incorporate, but maybe you've already thought about integrating traffic data into the cab calculator, so that those wait times could be more accurately calculated?
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that. The only issue I have is we only have access to traffic data to certain cities in Bing Maps.
Right.
So I'm going to try to that's part of one of the features I'm hoping to put in there in the future, to be able to use that. And just make multiple routing requests, one without routing, without traffic data, and one with traffic data, so I can kind of figure out what the wait times are.
Yeah, yeah. Because I believe there's a traffic app that somebody else built in there, but it'd be great to have the two integrated somehow so that you know, could leverage one against the other.
Yes, yeah, that's definitely something that that's on my list of things to do.
Yeah, yeah, and not enough time to do them for sure. Well, tell me also maybe a little bit about the data viewer, since that took you so long. You know, my comment about the data viewer was lots of people are already using another geospatial application, but here in the data viewer, you could obviously integrate shapefiles and GeoRSS feeds, which is very nice, but also could be done in perhaps another application. But you said that took you a little bit longer to do.
So yeah, for that app there, I started building out a toolkit last December for just dealing with geospatial data in Silverlight, so that I could have a good toolkit to work with the Bing Map Silverlight control.
Right, okay.
And so one of the things I built in there was the ability to read shapefiles right inside of Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been working on this toolkit consistently since December, and I'm trying to make an internal push at my company for us to start using it on a lot of the mapping stuff. And I thought that would be a great way to kind of get it known that we have this tool, and that can help us get our development done faster and at lower cost for our clients, and then at the same time make something that I think would be useful as a developer with Bing Maps. Because a lot of times I'll have someone give me a shapefile, and they're like, okay, can you, get a quick look at what it looks like, and then I'll have to open up a program or whatever. And like back in the day, I used to have to make the program, but now I can just upload it quickly and have the client take a look at it right away and see how it works on Bing Maps, and before we even have to build anything out.
And so what it sounds like is you've really built a mini platform for other application development, not kind of as an end in itself, maybe.
Right. Yeah, like the toolkit that I built out that whole application is built on top of is actually completely independent of Silverlight, but it can be used in Silverlight, it can be used in regular .NET applications, and so that was one of the main goals of that, because I wanted to make something that was reusable as possible so that I could go through, and if I wanted to build a web service that was able to read shapefiles, I could do that. And not just be tied down to just Silverlight or .NET.
Right. What can you tell me if you have used the Google API for their maps, and can you compare the two in terms of the difficulty or ease of use between them?
Yeah, I've done a couple projects with the Google API. One thing I found is just the syntax of the coding isn't as nice to work with. And a lot of things that I also found with just from the coding point of view is that it seemed like I had to do more steps to get this functionality that was just a single one line of code in the Bing Maps.
Right.
But overall, like for performance and for data, they're both very comparable to each other.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of preference.
Yeah. But it does seem like Microsoft has done a very nice job with the rendering engine in Bing, and they've come a far way from some of the early attempts of a web map service.
Oh, yeah, I love the Silverlight control.
You do, yeah. My only comment about Bing Maps is it seems like the load time, the refresh time is a bit slower. Am I wrong about that, or have you noticed any performance issues with Bing versus Google?
No, I haven't really noticed any performance issues with it. Like the Silverlight control there is just really fast, and there used to be performance issues back in the day, but they moved everything up to the Azure cloud there not too long ago, maybe a year ago, and ever since then I found that the loading times have been really good.
Right.
And I haven't had any issues.
Tell me, if you would, just a little bit about Infusion and you know, why you felt like using, you know, this type of mapping app or developing a web service using location technology would help you out. Have you been getting more requests to integrate mapping technology into the apps that you build?
In Fusion, I'm a senior GIS consultant and specialize with anything that has a map in it.
Right.
So we get a lot of projects that are mapping related, and so I just wanted to kind of make something that would kind of be reusable for us so that we have better reusable tools so we can have faster development. And also there's a lot of times like we'll get people that are on projects that may have never worked with a shapefile before. And so the whole task of having to be able to read one in would be, you know, beyond them. And so I figured by creating this set of tools, it would help make it easier for everyone so that we can be able to offer a better service overall.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for your time, and again, congratulations on being the king of maps, and hopefully it'll lead to other projects both inside and outside of the company.
Definitely looks like it is.
good deal. Well, thanks, Ricky. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it much.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. If you'd like to write to us, you can do so at editors@directionsmagazine.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.